You know, I think I can honestly say I enjoy winning. Don't you? I played many sports over the years and other types of events, and although I was never a part of a team that won any major championships, anything of note, the thrill of victory, no matter how small, was always a highlight. Does your heart thrill or is it stirred when you watch the Olympics or some other major sporting event or other type of activity? Or how about a great singer, a great comedian, a great movie? Maybe there's another activity or pursuit that when you see someone really excelling at it, whatever they are doing, it does something to you. I got to admit it, at times it's been an emotional experience for me because I guess I identify with the individual or individuals and I kind of share in their victory or accomplishment. Have you ever been there? You ever felt like that? Whether it's in a movie, whether it's an athletic contest, whether it's something that, you know, you're into and you just see the best of the best of the best win. Well, defeat is never fun either, is it? And after having lived a number of years like y'all on this planet, I can certainly testify to that. And unfortunately, when we compare ourselves to those with more notable accomplishments, we can and have probably found ourselves with guilt, condemnation, and possibly feelings of unworthiness. But wait a second. There's good news. I'm reminded of this verse, Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. I love this because it just builds such a great mind picture and just stirs me up and encourages me and is a great exhortation because it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Well, I got to ask you, does this sound like winning to you? It certainly does to me. So whether we're in the first quarter of our journey or in the final quarter, the outlook is very, very bright. We can learn from the mistakes or defeats we have encountered and not allow those events to define us or anyone, because there is always hope. You know, Jesus, he was and he is the greatest champion of all time. His life and what he did changed the course of human history. And his victory for us paid the bill for debt of sin and sins, past, present, and future. And yes, he was the greatest example of a man who endured to the end, even when the devil thought he had defeated him. Because the victory cry was not an accolade of some human recognition, it was a spiritual victory cry. He is risen. Jesus Christ overcame all the obstacles that defeat mankind. And he won the victory for us. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. If you have your Bible or your phone or your tablet, or maybe you have this verse memorized. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Amplified Bible, it says, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ, making us conquerors. There's some similarities here, going back to Romans 5:17, where it talks about we receive a gift of righteousness, we're going to reign in life. Now here, in this vision especially, it says, God gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, making us conquerors, super conquerors. And let's go to that section in Romans chapter 8 where it mentions that as well. We're going to read another two translations, starting with the King James Version, Romans 8:35 through verse 37. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I love going to other translations at different times just to get a little broader scope of it. So in the New Living Translation, it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So, the Bible says we're victors. Well, are we? Well, yes, I can hear you through the phone line. But just knowing that we're victors brings up another question. And that is being able to live victoriously. So that we not only have the attitude of a champion in the battles that we face in life, but also how to experience living from a place of victory. I read an article recently by a gentleman, some of you may know him or know him by name, Duke Clark. And he wrote this. He said, the best skill we can develop, which I think is true for everyone, is to learn to manage situations. This means we adapt, adjust, regroup, and recommit. It is often said that when you try to control something by holding on too tight, it squeezes out through your fingers. Life is fluid, and moving ahead is the only way to go. Too many people allow their lives to be stagnant while they worry about problems, complain about defeats, or just feel sorry for themselves. These cannot be the roadblocks that keep us from our destination. Moving and growing is the only way to see things through, and that should be our continual process in life until we finally close our eyes for the last time. And I add, unless Christ comes back first. Adapt. We're adaptable, adjustable. We regroup, we recommit. If we find ourselves in these situations that bring on these feelings of unworthiness and condemnation, guilt, whatever it is, we got to let it go, guys. Like it says in Philippians 3:13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14 of Philippians chapter 3, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is revolutionary. This is so wonderful to be able to read and to think and then to see our lives in reality becoming victors. And I thought the other day, because I've entitled this teaching, Our Championship Season. Well, you know, generally a team or an individual has a season that they, compete and, records are kept and the best, maybe the best man win or whoever the team with the best record, they get to win. But, I thought our champion season is our lifetime. It's just not one day. It's a combination of a multitude of days over an extended period of time. And it's like that song said, we're on God's team. We're on God's team. He's called us. He's placed us. He's given us the abilities through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now all he kind of is saying to us is, hey, kids, walk. Walk forward. And what are those attitudes and those things that are of a championship nature to those who are now born again, sons of God, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I had some thoughts the other day, and that was walking in forgiveness, walking with great peace, walking with compassion, walking with the love of God, walking in righteousness, walking in so many of the characteristics that we have freely been given. We've been given the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. It says we're going to reign. That means we're going to reign like kings in life. This is our championship season. I know at times we go through things. We have what would appear to be failures, defeat, different things like that. We made bad choices, wrong choices, whatever. But we can come back from that because we are loved by Almighty God. There's a wonderful gentleman by the name of Bob Richards. He wrote a book called The Heart of a Champion, Inspiring True Stories of Challenge and Triumph. Bob Richards was a gold medalist in the, believe it or not, the pole vault in two different Olympics. And this is one section of that book that I thought was just so good for us to read together. And he says, "You show me someone who has no inspiration, and I'll show you someone as good as dead. Show me someone with no challenges, no goals, no great aspirations, and I'll show you someone who won't do anything in life. You got to be inspired. Let some great thing pull you up in living. Let some great goal, some great ideal, a great coach, some lovely wife, a husband, some sweetheart, maybe a friend, a teacher, a minister. Let God Almighty inspire you and lift you up to catch a vision of what you can be." You know, one reason I think a great deal of Jesus is because, for one thing, he never pointed out the weaknesses of people. He never dwelt on their failures and their shortcomings. He always thought of the dream that God had for their lives. Never emphasizing their failures, he simply said, "Go and sin no more. Be what God intends you to be." Lifting people up to catch a vision of what they could be, he changed human life. That's why I think he's the greatest inspiration that has ever hit the human race. Inspiration is vital to greatness in living. This is our time. This is our championship season, the race of a lifetime. So let's continue on as faithful as we can, knowing that God is the faithful one and that Jesus achieved the victory, ultimately. Now, every day we face opportunities, we face challenges that are attempting to overcome us, but as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, we have to take our rightful place as sons and daughters of God and do one thing. What is that? Stand. We do one thing. We stand. And the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament, these verses, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, I thought would be a good closing section here for us tonight. He says, "In conclusion, be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord, in the power of his boundless resource. Put on God's complete armor so that you can successfully resist all the devil's methods of attack. For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power, and that even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground. Take your stand, then, with truth as your belt, righteousness your breastplate, the gospel of peace firmly on your feet, salvation as your helmet, and in your hand, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Above all, be sure you take faith as your shield, for it can quench every burning missile the enemy hurls at you. Pray at all times with every kind of spiritual prayer, keeping alert and persistent as you pray for all of God's and Christ's men and women. With God's word, that was the end of the quote. With God's word as our firm rock and our foundation, and Jesus Christ as our example and role model, I trust we can all be inspired to live victoriously beyond our own abilities and our own strengths. And in that way, we allow the Spirit to be energized in us so that we are empowered to help, to instruct, and to serve others in love. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, a verse again about triumph and victory, which I think is just such a wonderful topic and subject. And it says, and I've kind of combined the King James and the Amplified together. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us and who always leads us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Or, in other words, he spreads and makes evident everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. That's who we are in this victory walk, in this champion season. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go, we have these wonderful characteristics that have been born within us at the time of the new birth. And as we walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ, we exemplify everything that the characteristics of his life. And these become the stepping stones upon which our lives are built, and we can really live out the championship season and look forward to that great reward that is yet to still come. Amen. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together to be able to share the greatness of your word. Father, that you help us, strengthen us, teach us, guide us, lead us, whatever is needed, Father, so that we have a greater and fuller understanding of the victory that's ours. And we see that Jesus was undefeated. And now we've got that Spirit of Christ living within us. And so we too can walk forward in this world, not to be intimidated or sweet-talked, but to just live as you direct and you lead, Father. So we thank you for your goodness, your grace and mercy, and the way that you continue to help us, Father, stand day by day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.